Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Watch us on twitch.tv or download the Twitch app and follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. The chat's popping right now. They're excited for Sylvie to join us.
Yes,
it's all brought to you by Anthony's and Joliet. Head into Anthony's and Joliet to get your ESPN Fantasy Football Championship code to enter, to be a part of it. And, of course, cooled, refreshing Miller Lite. When I think grit, when I think spirit, when I think heart, when I want to look into the eyes of a man and know what is in his soul, I first think of Jim Boylan, but then, of course, I think of Sylvie.
It's fair.
I think of Sylvie. And Sylvie went in for treatment today. We're all Sylvie strong, and not even that could keep him away. Sylvie, how are you feeling?
Hell yeah! I mean, wait, when you're driving to the hospital and you get a text message from Carmen DeFalco was first, and then Waddle was second on the scene telling us that there's Jim Boylan news, followed by a couple of friends, it was the least expected, most welcomed news I can get going in for the appointment that I had. And it, like, I was talking to Tyler off the air, and he's like, hey, is this fueling you or is it the steroids? I'm like, dude, it's both at this point. I mean, the Boylan news really got me through the day. It carried the day, guys.
Were you expecting it?
No, it was totally unexpected. I mean, Abdallah beat me down.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you had just you had decided that this wasn't going to happen because of whether it's been Abdallah, it's been Casey Johnson, it's been others that thought that
Malika,
this may just
Brian
be
Brian Windhorst, Joe Cowley. Look, it's not just me. I'm just going off of what they're saying.
When Cowley started to turn, hinting, you know, hedging his thing, saying that, hey, sources are saying they could keep him because of monetary reasons. And look, Abdallah knows me. Abdallah knows me well. He knows that if he starts making things, I told him at first, I thought I would be an adult Waddle for once.
Yeah.
And when he said, hey, Boylan's still the coach, I'm like, hey, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's relax. Second time he said, I'm like, okay, I get you, but it's Karnishevis. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But the third time, Abdallah knew that he would rattle my cage, and he knew I would start to panic, and that's what I've been doing the last month, and that's why, like, I was not expecting to get this news today. And I don't know if you guys have thrown this out there yet, and I don't think it's true, but it's the Waddle just asking game.
Yes.
Do you believe that a lot of the stuff from Casey Johnson, knowing who he works for and who his connections are, and then even, like I said, the Sun-Times and Cowley,
saying they were floating some stories to see the response?
The trial balloon, Waddle. Mm. Have you mentioned that? Look, this is, what if we float this out there? How bad is this going to be for us? Like you've always said, Waddle, follow the dollar. Would you have a mutiny with your fans? Would your players be upset? Let's float it out there. Can we get away with it with 1 year of saving some cash without our fan base and players panicking? And I think we got an answer to that with a resounding no, we can't handle it.
I don't know if that's what they did.
There's no way that's what they did.
I don't think they did. But
if you look at their Twitter accounts, if you look at their Instagram accounts, every time the Bulls post something, the first like 20 responses are, why haven't you fired Boylan yet? Why haven't you fired Boylan yet? It has nothing to do with KC or what they're writing. I think that you knew there were billboards for Garn Pax.
Like, they're a weird team, though, you know? Abdallah, they're a weird team.
I've always felt that, you know, that this would have been a huge financial mistake on their behalf. I don't know when people are going to be allowed to go back to the United Center. But I think you lose the goodwill of hiring Eversley and AK and moving Pax to a spot where he doesn't have any decision-making power. You lose that goodwill if you don't also
show Jim Boylan the door. And I think it would have come back and bit them financially. Like, I didn't think they were ever going to make this change until people stopped coming consistently to the UC. Well, that happened. The change occurred. I don't think you get butts back into the seat until you fire the coach. Because, and we had Andy call in today and said the same thing. He said, listen, if Jim Boylan was left as the head coach even for a year, I'm not buying tickets. The fact that Jim Boylan's been launched, he's more willing to buy tickets now.
Well, and think about all the questions, too. And then the return on investment from your players that you're not getting. You're paying these players millions of dollars to succeed, and then they're just not developing with a bad coach. But the other point of all this is, just where the Bulls are with Karnishevis. If you keep Boylan, you create these theories. Does Pack still have a say? Is Reinsdorf overriding everything for Karnishevis? Or is Karnishevis just dumb? All of those questions are bad. Whether it's Karnishevis is a puppet and doesn't have full autonomy, whether Karnishevis really believes in Boylan, that's bad too. Whether Pax is still having a role in this, it just would create a fervor amongst Bulls fans. And today, by that statement that he made, it was a great one, guys. And now today, they earned even more of my benefit of the doubt going further, where I'm like, okay, let's see Karnishevis. He wants to do the long play here. He wants to think about things. And for the first time here since the Thibodeau hire, we have ourselves a good old-fashioned coaching search. Because remember this, boys, we didn't get a coaching search when they hired Jim Boylan.
No.
They didn't even name him interim. They gave him the job, and then they secretly gave him an extension.
You got to go back to Tibbs.
Then you go back to Freddie Hoiberg. Fred Hoiberg was the chosen guy before Tibbs was even fired.
Right.
That they knew it was him. They had not gone through one of these big processes where you interview guys, you learn things, you find out what the perception is amongst coaches and players about your organization through that lens. There's so much beneficial that could come out of a coaching search, and I love the news, as this is one of my favorite teams.
This is the most reasonable outcome of all. Now they used their own calendar to do this. They did this on their own time.
It was the end of the season.
Yeah. No. Well, I get that, but you could have been leaning in either direction here about what was going to go on. We've seen Jerry Reinsdorf and the Bulls pay more than one coach at a time. We've seen him pay guys to go away and hire a different coach. And, like, I heard Cap coming on his own show today from Michigan saying, well, this was brilliant. I've also seen Jerry Reinsdorf trade away a second-round pick for cash.
Right.
So, and I know that they've turned, a $13 million investment into a $3.5 billion entity. I get all of that. But there are examples down this long path of them being brilliant financial guys or business guys. And then we've also seen examples in terms of, like, selling a second round pick for cash. Other examples where you're like, that should not be protocol for a team that's worth what they're worth.
Waddle, it's like starting a race with your shoes untied. You're ready to run. You've trained forever. And then you're hampering yourself. So, like, that was the start of the rebuild. They said, we're getting younger. We're getting more athletic. Yeah. But we don't need the 37th pick. We just want cash for our owner. That's not how you start a rebuild. You get as many young and athletic players as possible. And it's not saying that 37 would turn out to be great. But you just do everything possible, and you don't benefit the owner with his pocketbook. Then you just get players. This way, it would have been starting a race. We got Karnishevis. We got Eversley. He's hired some good guys underneath him. They've got a really good staff. And then you're going to say we're starting a race with Boylan weighing us down. And that's just we're getting a real clean start where we're seeing a new coach who's tied to the new front office, and we can all go together. And hopefully in a few years, this thing's going to be, because I saw the Stephen A. Smith stuff. I know there are some questions. It's the opposite of Boylan with a hell yeah.
Hell no.
I hadn't heard that yet. But, I just think with the new group and them doing this, You got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And hopefully these are smart people now making smart decisions.
I think it's a better job now than it has been in a while.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, since the Tibbs hire.
Well, because you've got some good young players that will hopefully develop this year. You've got Zach LaVine, who you can think of what you want. He puts up a lot of points.
As Mark Schanowski said earlier, and something I've always said, it's hard to score 25 points per game in this league.
It is, but you can argue that he doesn't make the other players better around him. He's just putting up shots, and that's why he scores 25 a night. But also, you've got, you know, a place where people still want to play. I know that people say, well, free agents don't come there, free agents don't come there. Well, free agents haven't come here because we've been a joke. Because you had players that wanted to come here and play when Thibodeau was here. We had, you know, the whole LeBron thing, whether you want to believe it or not, they were close. It was the front office that screwed that up. Not LeBron and Wade and Bosch. It was the front office that screwed it up. So players,
they didn't have enough room for three. They had two.
You could have made room. You could have figured it out. There's a will, there's a way. You can figure it out. You can always figure it out.
I don't think they had cap space for three.
They had cap space for two.
They couldn't do three. They were trying.
Yeah, they were trying.
They had to trade Deng, and Deng's always been in the way.
Now, if you can create financial flexibility, and if you can create an environment where players want to be with young talent and with guys on the rise and a young core, you have to put yourself in a situation where you are in the conversation for Giannis when he is up in a year.
Well, is Darvin Ham really tight with Giannis?
I just want a coach called Coach Ham.
Right. That's not bad either. I like that too, but like he's the lead assistant in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And so
he's also only been there 2 years.
Right. But that's still 2 years under Giannis winning MVPs probably. You know, Giannis says, I'm just saying anything you can do. And if he's one of the guys that they're mentioning, and there are others. I know one of the guys was in Portland at the time with what they got going on and, mm-hmm. and Dame, like all these guys who you could have relationships are so big today, guys, in the NBA.
Yep.
And if you ever Eversley, relationship builder, what we hear, if you get a coach, relationship builder, and guys, instead of saying, I don't recruit, that, hey, come play here, it's all good.
Yeah, I think Abdallah and I took the other approach opposite of Stephen A. I think this is a much better job now than it was years ago.
Of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's still the Chicago Bulls. Right. I mean, it's still the Bulls. The weather won't ever change, but still, it's still the Chicago Bulls, and this fan base just wants and is just dying for some sort of good basketball, and they will love you in this town. Mm-hmm. It's like the Blackhawks before they started changing everything. Those fans just wanted something. And if this front office can give the fans something good again, I mean, guys, look how overloved guys like Taj Gibson and that whole, you know, 2010 to 2015 Bulls
Listen,
run
Sylvie,
was.
That building was filled for years when other places would have had half capacity.
Right.
This was the right basketball decision. It was the right financial decision because guys like Andy who called in are going to be more willing when they do open the stadium up, the UC, for fans. People are going to be more willing to spend their money to go to games than they would have if Jim Boylan was patrolling the sideline.
People here went nuts for Andres Nocioni.
I know, me. Yeah, me. Untouchable. Can't trade Noach. He's the heart and soul off
guy.
The bench. He's the modern-day player that could hit the three from the outside and mix it up underneath like the old days.
Yeah, and this is, like I said, especially in this time with what's going on, you can feel two things at the same time. You never root for anyone to lose their job, but it was time for them to move Jim Boylan out of the building.
Yes. And again, it's an empowering move to your front office. What do you want to do with new hires? You want to empower them. To hamstring somebody when you give them their first vice president's job and to say, no, you have to keep this coach, who, by the way, is the worst coach in Chicago sports history, even worse than Terry Bevington, that doesn't empower. But when you say to them, hey, that's fine, eat the $1.8 million, do an extensive search, be basketball smart, now you're empowering your brand-new front office. And Bulls fans, we love the move that was made today.
Between the Cubs continuing to win and the Bulls making this change, I'm talking like
Like, this man could slice bread with his nipples right now. He's so excited. Oh.
Well, the people, and imagine when I get the edible in my system tonight.
I was
going to
say, the people on Twitch want to know when the weed fingers are coming out and what time is THC o'clock.
So I won't tweet after I've consumed the edible. But as I, like, put it, I'm not going to say that because Meller will bring it back or someone will bring it back. As I'm about to eat the gummy, I will tweet a gif of a gummy or something like that.
It's like your Cheers picture.
Right. But after that, I'm not tweeting because I'll get in trouble because, like I said, I was going to text you guys last time while I was hallucinating watching Kyle Hendricks pitch on opening night. And I'm just like, dude, don't open up that box. Just put the phone down. The Herm Edwards, I just kept hearing, don't hit send. So
do you think they're going to move out the time clock, where you came in and you clocked in for work?
I hope so. I mean, that was probably a rental anyway, right,
yeah,
Waddle?
No,
I mean, they were
sure
investing in that. But
I'm glad that you feel good. I mean,
I'm sure
it was a difficult day to go through treatment. Only one left on your calendar, right?
One left. Can you believe it?
Which is fantastic.
That's amazing.
One left. 3 weeks from now.
What do you want 3 weeks from now on that day to signify
good.
The final treatment that you have to go through? What kind of good news would you like to be then?
I bet I know what it's going to be.
Does it have to do something with the Bears quarterback?
3 weeks from
it
now,
might,
yeah.
It's it might.
Nick Foles and the NFL is on schedule to start in a week from then. That we're previewing it's a game week.
And maybe it'll be the first game the Cardinals play on their return back to Major
right.
League Baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the Cubs have to play two doubleheaders against them this week.
They're not going to lose any of those.
The Cubs are never going to lose.
It's still ridiculous.
They're going to be 27-3 the next time I come out.
Then they're
going to
get swept in the first round of the postseason because they haven't played anyone.
By your rights.
Oh, no. Did I say that?
Wow.
Did you?
Picking you up.
Waddle's more fired up because Abdallah, yesterday, Mason was really tackling him yesterday about
good.
The Reds.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
They suck.
You're right. I really don't have a response for him. Like, he was more interested in giving me hell than he was actually focused at the plate when it was his turn to hit.
Yes, of course.
I don't think he wanted to go to the plate and hit. He just wanted to stand there and continue to heckle me.
He's a talker. Yeah, he's not an athlete. Takes after his daddy. He's a talker.
Well, he's good. He's a good heckler, too.
He had
a serious look on his face.
He was so excited to see you.
Hey, Waddle. How about your Reds? They stink.
That's awesome.
He was so excited. So can I give a shout out to everyone wearing the Sylvie Strong shirts too?
It's your show.
Waddle, you wore it yesterday. Thank you for coming out.
It was
a huge surprise. Get your Sylvie Strong shirts at Obvious Shirts. We're over 40,000. My hope is we can raise $50,000 for the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And just a shout out to everyone at Northwestern Hospital Lake Forest, everyone in the infusion center. They make my day. Like, I never thought I could be on the air on the day of chemo, but they make it as easy as possible, and they're the true heroes. So thank you to all of them, and thanks for dealing with me, guys.
Hell yeah.
For all the belly aching about Boylan these last several months.
We shared the same thoughts.
Yeah, we did. Doubt. We were together on Boylan.
Very glad I was wrong about something.
Yeah,
very glad.
But maybe it all worked. You know, maybe all of us being up in a panic, they aren't oblivious to fan reaction, as Waddle's pointed out.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, have a good rest of your day.
Pop that
See you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Get high. Get high.
Everybody, keep buying those Sylvie Strong tea. They got masks, they got shirts, they got stickers, they got everything. Go to obviousshirts.com. It's right on the front page there. When we come back, Allen Robinson spoke to the media today.
Ball.
And is Matt Nagy going to get cute again this season? Yeah. We'll talk about that next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
I hope Ryan Pace doesn't do us like that.
Do us like what?
So this is just, I don't know if this is just something to keep in the back of your brain, right?
Todd McShay, not a lot of room in there.
Todd McShay puts, if it does go in there, it might rattle around yours a little bit. So Todd McShay puts out his mock draft this week, and number 14th, the Bears pick 14th, and they take North Dakota State quarterback, right? Trey Lance.
I'm not going to lie to you. I have no idea who the top quarterback prospects are heading into.
It's basically
whatever this college football season will look like.
It's Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and then Trey Lance is up there.
Okay.
Okay. So this just in, North Dakota State will not play football in the fall. They're an FCS team. They will not play football. They will turn their attention toward playing a Missouri Valley Football Conference schedule and potential NCAA playoffs in the spring of 2021.
I still don't. Let me interject this again. I need to get this off my chest every time I hear this. Yeah. Like, listen, first of all, you don't know what the situation's going to be. Mm-hmm. I get it. Plan for it. I'm a huge fan of plans. But do not stand up and preach to me about the safety of these young student athletes and then try to make them play 20 to 22 regular season football games in a calendar year.
Well, they made
that's very hypocritical.
They put out, I forget who it was, but
because I can tell you from experience that spring practice is significantly different than a spring season that includes regular games.
Which coach was it? Tyler, do you know? You know college things. Was it which coach was it from the Big Ten that put out a schedule that had football starting?
Was it Ryan Day?
No, it was Jeff Brohm from Purdue.
Purdue. So
and I thought it was a great schedule.
Start in January.
Yes. Love it. Yeah. But it's still a lot of football. They play eight. Did he say a minimum of eight games?
Yeah.
And then if you get into a postseason, fine. 10 games in the spring.
I get it.
And then a full schedule.
I understand.
That's not safe for student athletes.
My point is that the quarterback.
I get it. I'm just telling you. Hold your thought. You can't tell me that is safe. Take the coronavirus out of the equation. Put other injuries on the table.
It's not safe for the
brain.
You
can't tell me. Thank you again for concussions and knee injuries and other. This is a tough sport. You're going to play 20-plus regular season games?
I agree with you.
That's not keeping the – that's a – listen, just cancel it. I get it. Mm-hmm. Cancel the entire season. Just go to spring. Have your normal spring. Just have your normal spring. You don't need to play these games. Just get the guys back in and then kick it back up in the fall.
But and if guys want to leave and go to the draft, they leave and go to the draft.
It's so hypocritical if you're talking about the health and safety of these young men to try and ask them to play 20-plus regular games. Again, trust me from experience, that's an enormous ask. And it's not keeping the student-athletes' health and best interest in mind. I almost gave myself an aneurysm even thinking about this. I think I was about to stroke out. Like, I don't get it.
I agree with you. We agree.
Okay, I'm sorry to
interject. I agree.
I'm sorry I had to interject.
But that being said, the quarterback that the Bears might be looking at, according to Todd McShay, might have played his last college game, meaning you are not getting any more tape on some of these guys.
Well, you don't trust him trusting the tape anyway, do you?
No, of course not. And I think that Trey Lance is he's a good quarterback. I think he can be very successful. But ultimately,
I don't know anything about him.
You're not going to see, he had at one point 300 attempts with no interceptions. Like he played lights out football in the FCS.
That's now,
Jared Goff came from the FCS too, but still. My point is that you're going to have to do these evaluations with no tape whatsoever. So my tease about what I mentioned earlier about Matt Nagy getting cute, Mike Garofalo is reporting from the NFL Network that Cordell Patterson is meeting with the running backs and not the wide receivers.
I think that's a good decision.
In Bears camp.
How is that too cute? That, to me, is actually a good decision.
Listen, I just said it to keep people for listening through 5 minutes of
the
break.
Good tease.
Thank you. Thank you. Like, I'm playing radio games here, and I just want your reaction to what you think.
In my opinion, that's the right room for Cordarrelle Patterson to be in. Because if you put on the tape, Cordarrelle Patterson is not a great route runner. He is a tremendous athlete. He is fast as the day is long. He is big. He is strong. He is outstanding with the ball in his hands.
He's
not a guy that is going to wow you with his ability to run the route tree.
This excites me a little bit. So here's what Garofalo said. I'm starting to hear things that make me think Matt Nagy is going to be really creative this year and go deep into his bag of tricks. How about Cordarrelle Patterson, who we've seen in the past has been a running back? In fact, Josh McDaniels with the Patriots really provided the blueprint that Matt Nagy and the Bears are going to follow here this year.
And why did Josh McDaniels keep him in the backfield and throw him bubble screens and not
have bad routes?
So I don't know if that's being cute or actually being efficient
and smart
about what he's going to do.
Try everything because your job may depend on it. Coming up next, we'll hear from Allen Robinson. Is he okay not having an extension before the season starts. We'll hear from Alan next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in Chicagoland. Today we salute Crosstown Pub. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Crosstown Pub and Sam Adams helping you celebrate the return of sports. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Adam Abdallah in for Sylvie today. We just heard from Sylvie. He's a little stronger because of the news, the Bulls news today.
Just again, to reiterate something that I've said multiple times today, look, this is not dancing on somebody's professional grave, okay? Mm-mm. We can do both here. We can acknowledge that, especially in this given time, we're not cheering for someone to lose his job. By the same token, this was a necessary decision for the Bulls to advance on the sports front. Jim Boylan will be paid at least another year, correct?
Correct.
And will have an opportunity to seek employment elsewhere while getting paid his full salary for the next upcoming basketball season. So, just for the people out there who think we are cheering for someone losing their job in a very difficult time, that is not the case. But we do have to look at this from the sports angle.
You said that well.
Do that the right
eloquently.
Way?
Very eloquently.
That doesn't usually happen.
Yeah. Take that.
Oh, wow.
People who have good come night, after everyone. Us. I'm just saying.
Take that?
No, I mean, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean. Allen Robinson spoke to the media today. He wants a contract extension. We all want Allen Robinson.
Yeah, we want him to get paid.
And he is the best wide receiver on the Bears, obviously.
By far.
And so I would trust his judgment of how the quarterbacks are doing. And you think it's kind of awkward for Allen Robinson?
First of all, I have not heard this.
Is it awkward?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I also know that he is a great teammate.
Yes.
And I find it highly unlikely that he's going to let you and me, a couple of knuckleheads, in on exactly how he feels the competition is going.
Yes. Allen Robinson was asked, is it awkward having a quarterback competition?
No, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about who's best for me. You know, it's about what's best for the team. You know, so it's never awkward or anything like that. You know, again, like I said before, both of those guys are great teammates, you know. So it's not something that's difficult at all. You know, again, I mean, I've played with Mitch now for 3 years. Well, this will be the third year. You know, and as far as meeting Nick recently, you know, hearing a lot of different things from him, you know, being around him, you know, he's also a good teammate. You know, I think that's what makes this competition a little bit different than those other guys. You know, just even seeing how those guys communicate in meetings and stuff like that. You know, at the end of the day, the job is for us to be, you know, the best team and the best players that we can be. You know, so that's a challenge to ourselves. You know, it's not about any other player, you know, in the locker room, you know, even in our receiver room. It's not about any other, you know, receivers or anything like that. It's about, for us individually, can we be the best players that we can be each and every day?
A very respectable answer from Allen Robinson.
He's a pro on the field. He's a pro off the field.
And there's been a lot of talk about Trubisky and him, you know, working out a lot more and being more focused than he has been in the past. Which I don't know why he hasn't been focused in the past.
Before you play this,
yes,
I believe the work that he and Mitch did was like a while ago. It wasn't like they were working out every day leading up, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Every day of the offseason leading up to when they reported.
No, they haven't. Well, they've been working out a little bit, but not like, they're not out there every day taking reps and stuff like that. So Allen Robinson was asked what he's seen Mitch improve on.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, you know, I'm not a quarterback coach or anything, so it's hard to tell. I don't really know mechanics and stuff like that. But, you know, just as far as, you know, how you see him move around and, you know, how he throws the ball, as far as, you know, being just more, you know, confident in everything. You know, I think, like I said before, that's the same thing with Mitch. You know, is, you know, as you're going into, you know, your fourth year, you know, the more football that you play, you know, you're able to slow the game down. You're able to slow a lot of things down. You know, and I can only imagine from a quarterback level, because it's a lot more going on rather than just running routes and looking at leverages and corners corners coverages and stuff like that. You know, so again, I mean, the more football that you play, the more stuff that you see, you know, that's kind of where you take your game to the next level. That, you know, a big portion of this game is mental, you know, and the more mental acumen that you can have, you know, on that field in between those lines, and the more information that you can retain and keep, you know, that helps you play a lot faster, you know. And I think as far as Mitch, you know, you can just tell with that when he steps into the field, you know, when he steps onto the field, the things that he sees and stuff like that, you know, happens a lot faster, you know, and just, you know, his recognition and stuff like that, you know, which is fun to see. You know, like I said before, I mean, we have a young team, you know, so being able to see a lot of these guys develop over the past couple of years has been fun.
I would say this. I agree with everything Alan said about the speed of the game. The problem is, like, Alan could talk about how he feels confident that the game is slowing down for Mitch. If I'm not mistaken, they have yet to actually have a 7-on-7 practice or practice against their defense, right?
Correct.
When you are practicing against your own guys, much less playing in a preseason game or a regular season game, guess what happens? That processing has to speed up in an enormous period of time. So, like, it's okay that you're throwing routes on air to your receivers or you're talking through some things, but the real processing of things takes place when it's live. And that's where we have had the disconnect with Mitch, is that when he, like, you can look at some of the film and you say to yourself, how in the world can his mechanics go that haywire? Because when you're not confident in what you're seeing, or you're not processing things quickly, the next thing that happens is your fundamentals break down, and now you're a hot mess because you're not believing what you're seeing. It's too fast for you, and now your body, since you're not confident, you start to do things that aren't good for you. Whereas if it comes second nature to you, like I think it does for Nick Foles, you see this, you see that, you see that. Very rarely will a quarterback who has control of the offense, an understanding of the offense, and practices things where things slow down, very rarely does that guy have mechanical issues because it's not something he worries about.
Ah, speaking of Nick Foles, what are A-Rob's impressions of Nick Foles?
You know, same thing like I heard before, you know, that he's a really good teammate, you know, he's a competitor, you know, and just all around, you know, a good player. You know, again, I kind of said it in the spring and summer, you know, you're bringing high character guys into the locker room. You know, that's always a good thing for the team, you know. So for us, it's just about, you know, going out there, execute no matter who's in the center, you know, and just trying to make plays, you know. So that's the mindset we have.
I still think it's going to be Nick Foles. I think that, like you mentioned, everything about seeing what he's seeing in the huddle and being able to process the information faster. He might not have the familiarity of that Trubisky does with Allen Robinson and, you know, the other guys, but ultimately, that can come quickly. I feel like you can adjust to that quickly.
Yeah,
if you're
going
to throw me the ball and the ball's going to be in the right spot, okay, chemistry.
Again, I throwing on air to a wide receiver in June, it doesn't really make any difference to how this process is going to go down, because once things become live, all of those throws against air are meaningless. I'm not saying it's you can't get something from it, but I think it's overvalued with regard to ultimately how things will happen once the competition, so to speak, starts.
And finally, we talked to Dan Weeder about it yesterday. Lots of dudes are getting money. Lots of dudes are getting paid. The Bears have created a little bit of cap space by guys opting out. That's just not a luxury, but that's some added benefit of a couple of these guys opting out. Goldman thinks he wants to opt out. More power to him. Absolutely. If you want to opt out, I've got nothing against people wanting to opt out. But the Bears have some extra money this year.
Yes, so use it.
Use it. Does Allen Robinson want a contract extension before the season starts?
You know, for me, like I said before, I mean, it's, you know, different things that go into it, you know, between the team and my agent and stuff like that, you know. But again, for me, I mean, I'm not really, you know, too focused on that right now. You know, my main focus is on camp. You know, we have a game in about a month, you know, so not having OTAs, you know, kind of starting a little bit slower in training camp and stuff like that. You know, my main focus is getting right for week one, and whatever happens with that happens.
He's too professional.
Well, I love professional. It. I mean, listen, if you're him as well, seriously, if you're him as well, he's going to get paid because the league recognizes how good a player he is.
Yeah.
My point is,
I just want the Bears to pay him.
I'm with you. But if you're him, What's the harm in letting this season play out, other than possible injury, where you would have some sort of guarantees that are forwarded to you? Because think
about
it.
He might get picked up by a better team.
Exactly. So the Bears, if the Bears hit a number he's comfortable with, and I'm sure he's told us that he really likes Chicago, and I'm sure he likes Matt, mm-hmm. but like, think about it. Does he lock himself into a contract extension here in Chicago? And what if the season goes haywire? They don't know what the quarterback situation will look like, and the front office of the coaching staff may change.
Mm-hmm.
So from his perspective, unless they pay you exactly what you're asking for, he may want to sit back and kind of read the situation as well.
And it might benefit him if Nick Foles is the quarterback and he has a better season than he has in the past. He might be betting on himself and his price. Yeah, exactly. His price may go up, and hopefully the Bears can meet that, because I think that Bears fans really like Allen Robinson, and it'd be a shame because you have to replace him. And talent like that at that position is hard to just find.
Think about it as well. What has been the Achilles heel of this team in general? It's been their offense.
Mm-hmm.
They have struggled to find good offensive players in a lot of different positions.
Yeah.
Why would you not want to keep the guy who has done as well or better than any of your offensive players?
There is so much going on this weekend in the world of sports and everything else. We will tell you what's up.
By the way, I have some Cleveland Indians news. Have you seen this?
Yes, I saw that cross.
This is really interesting.
We will get to that, and we will tell you what to watch for coming up next. Look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy-efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/instantly.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The Cleveland Indians have done something rather interesting. If you read the tea leaves, I guess really, not really the tea leaves, but yesterday, Zach Plesac posted a video on Instagram that we played where he's basically driving around Cleveland and calling the media evil and accusing them of perpetuating the situation and saying he didn't do anything wrong by CDC standards and by states and city standards, by going out to dinner with eight people and then being at their house with eight people and then going back to his hotel. Now, the MLB is not governed by the CDC. It is not governed by the states. It is governed by the MLB. And if they tell you you're not allowed to break the quote bubble and go out to dinner with people and go to people's houses, then guess what? You're not allowed to do it.
Well, and I, you know, listen, this is up to the, in a lot of ways, the team is responsible for how they're going to handle their
mm-hmm.
players.
Mm-hmm.
And the reports here are that both Clevinger and Plesac drove to Detroit last night with their baseball stuff to be ready for any decision the club had to make. They both had a chance to talk to their teammates and the staff before ultimately a decision was made that they would be optioned.
So they've been optioned to the minor league or to the, if it's the minor league or if it's the
minor league
taxi
camp.
Squad, minor league camp.
After the team meeting where they had an opportunity to speak to their teammates, they were optioned to minor league camp.
Look, props to the Indians for realizing that, look, these are two guys that we need, especially Plesac, as well as he's been
both,
pitching.
Dude, they've been the, I want to say prior to them both being sent home for a while, it was the best starting rotation in baseball.
Yeah.
And they have the worst collective offense in baseball to this point. So like you said, I mean, when you can't score a lot of runs, you've got to make sure the opponents aren't scoring any. This is something that's going to drastically affect the entire team. But
well, and this is something where, you know, the Indians could have said, hey, they paid their dues. They went through quarantine. They got tested. They're negative, and now they're coming back. Whereas the team has said,
right,
you know what? This isn't enough. You need to be punished a little more. Or maybe they just want them to quarantine more, but you're not really quarantined if you're going down with the minor league affiliate. So they want them to be away from the team longer, whether you're driving up and you want to join or not. And that goes into the St. Louis Cardinals, who are driving in right now as we speak, Wacky Races style, in different cars. and they're driving up to Chicago to play a doubleheader with the White Sox tomorrow, and then two doubleheaders with the Cubs on Monday and Wednesday.
It's crazy.
If you, to me,
I don't understand why everyone's in separate vehicles.
Yeah, that's
like, if you're not healthy enough to be on the same bus, then don't come up.
Then why are you doing this? If you're not healthy enough to take a bus or a plane together, then why are you together? Then why are you doing this? You think like the extra, you know, 7 hours of being in a car, by the time you get into the car and then check into the hotel and all that kind of stuff, that's going to be a longer incubation period? That's not what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's crazy.
I'm worried that it's going to infect the White Sox and the Cubs, so I'm just hoping that it doesn't and that everybody continues to be safe and continues to be healthy, but it'll definitely be something to monitor now that the Cardinals are, it's affecting, you know, Chicago teams. They're coming here.
Well, you know what? In some ways, you have to tip your cap to the Indians, going back to that story. Mm-hmm. They're holding their own guys accountable for putting everybody at risk, an unnecessary risk.
All right, let's tell you what to watch for.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
This is easy. Like, I'm the king of grabbing the low-hanging...
Pucks, baby!
low-hanging fruit. That's me, Mr. Grab the Low-Hanging Fruit Guy. You've got the Blackhawks playing...
the same.
Yeah, on Twitch, yeah.
Twitch. Grabbing the
hey, listen, the plums are hanging low right now. You don't even have to jump up to grab them. You just reach out and get yourself a couple of plums. And those plums are Blackhawks and Golden Knights games that you're going to get both Saturday and Sunday. So to me, it's really simple. What I'm watching for is Blackhawks playoff hockey on both weekend days.
Puck Dollar will be dialed into that, of course. But I like to go off the sports because I assume we're all going to watch sports this weekend. And there's a new show starting on HBO called Lovecraft Country. And it is made by Jordan Peele, who made Us and who made Get Out. And also by J.J. Abrams. It's a 1950s set dark fantasy. It looks amazing. If you like cinematography, if you like the way it's like going through all of that cost, everything. If you want something that looks cool and looks well made and has a very good story and is made by Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams, who have made many great things, this is going to be a show. This is a show that I've been excited for a few months now since they released a trailer for
Let's do this.
Tyler's going to tell us something about Syracuse.
No, not today. Maybe next week.
Oh, no.
We're going to go Ted Lasso. I don't know if you've seen this. The Apple TV Plus.
Jason Sudeikis.
We could all use a laugh here in 2020.
You want the first first rule of Fight Club? There is no Fight Club.
I love Jason Sudeikis.
He's good.
He is good.
So, yeah, that actually came out today. So enjoy that this weekend.
All right. There is some breaking Cubs news that I will tell you after we are back in just 2 minutes, thanks to our friends at Legal Rideshare.